Hey, good evening. This is Rabbi Feldman here, Tuesday night, February 19th. We'd like to thank the following sponsors for tonight's shiur: Pearl and David Schachter, in memory of Yosef Ben Moshe Zal, David's stepfather; Sheila and Danny Bear, in memory of Sheila's father, Avram Ben Menachem Mendel Leidenheim, and Danny's father, Eliezer Ben Gedalia Bear; and Arlene and Michael Sand, in memory of Michael's brother, Shlomo Ben Shmuel Yitzchak.
Good evening. Announced topic for tonight is really a holdover from Parshas Truma, but it's essentially a Truma Tetzaveh topic, and apparently it's an eternal topic. The topic is the mitzvah of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and it's rooted in the beginning of Parshas Truma. And on the surface, it's not really talking about the Beis HaMikdash, and the surface Beis HaMikdash doesn't appear until much later in history. So the pasuk there is really referring to the Mishkan. The Torah tells us in the first Aliyah of Parshas Truma, V'yasuli Mishkan, V'yasuli Mikdash, V'shachanti V'shacham, you should make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell among them. And the Mepharshim understand, the Mecheskin has a long essay about this, the Mepharshim understand that this mitzvah is not only a reference to the Mishkan at that time, but that any Heichal for the Karbanos, whether it's the Mishkan, whether it's the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Shiloh, Bayis Shlishi, perhaps all of that is all subsumed under this mitzvah of Yasuli Mikdash. So the question is, how could that be? They don't look anything alike. So here you have three words, and it contains all the details of the Mishkan, all the details of Bayis Rishon, all the details of Bayis Sheni. None of them look anything like each other. They look like each other, they're not the same, a lot of differences. So how could this all be contained within this one pasuk? So Hasidic and others quote the explanation that the idea is that the pasuk tells us, the Gemara has in Zvachim a whole discussion, how could it be that you could ever change anything in the Beis HaMikdash? How do you, what are the rules that regulate? And the Gemara quotes from the pasuk, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alay Hizkel, that everything has to be done based on direction from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, essentially through the Navi. So the Navi of that door, whatever door it is, gives the instructions of how it should be built, and it's appropriate to every circumstance, and following those rules, that's the mitzvah in that door. So it all comes from this one pasuk of the Yasuli Mikdash, and that's the adapted version for every door in which there's a different type of structure that's going to fit into this mitzvah. So that's the way the Rambam understands it, at least, and there are those who say that the Smag disagrees, because the Smag quotes a different pasuk. With the pasuk in Parshas Sarei, the Shifno Sidrashu of Asashama, that you should be Darish, you should seek out the place for Kodesh Baruch Hu's Shechina and go there. And so it's a question whether he agrees or not. The discussion is Melacha Mishnah and elsewhere on the side of the Rambam. So in the latest Rambam, they point out that the Smag also quotes the pasuk of Yasuli Mikdash. He quotes both Sukkim, so it suggests that maybe the Smag is just trying to tell you that really there's two separate obligations. There's an obligation to figure out where the place is. You have to be Dorish, the same way you have to look to see where it is you're going to build it exactly. And then, mitzvah to build it, that's a mitzvah on top of that. And this is a whole teram about 150 years ago or so, or longer, Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. It was well known to students of early religious Zionism, and Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer had a suggestion that maybe we should bring a Korban Pesach, because really we're chayiv to bring Korban Pesach, and this is going back more than 100 years, we're chayiv to bring Korban Pesach, and the only reason we don't do it is because we're anusim, because we're not able to do it. But why are we not so able to do it? We don't necessarily need a Beis HaMikdash for that, at least according to one opinion of the Gemara, which might be the dominant view. So maybe we should figure out where to go, and we should bring the Korban Pesach. So there's a whole, he sent his letter around to a lot of the Gedolim of his time, and they all did not agree for various reasons, or with various objections as to what would be the problem. And among the problems is you have to know exactly where the spot is. Even if you don't have the binyan, you need exactly the right spot. Maybe that's a separate mitzvah of being Darish the Shechina, so that's the problem. So that was one of the problems that was raised, and a lot of his contemporaries wrote to him about this, the binyan sin. Yaakov Ellinger, his first two tshuvas are about this, responding to this. And later on, Tzvi Beisach Frank wrote a sefer essentially all about this, if I'm not mistaken, called Mikdash Melech, where he took up all of the issues related to that proposal. So this mitzvah applies, apparently continues to apply, so it's a question whether it's true as not as that. Again, we don't know exactly how to do it or where to do it. There are those who suggest that it's only applicable in the Buzman Shirov Yoshua Allah, that most of the Jews have to be living in Eretz Yisrael, although we're not so far from that right now. That's projected for the near future. Maybe that might shift things, but again, we'll still need the proper circumstances, whatever they are. And assuming that the mitzvah is in play, so there are still some limitations that the Gemara says. On the one hand, the Gemara says that you can't put the Beis HaMikdash up at night. The pasuk says, "Biyom hikimus haMishkan." The Mishkan is built specifically during the daytime, so you can't be building it at night. And also, you can't build it on Shabbos HaYontis. Right? You might have thought that this was such a heilige thing that I could do this on Shabbos. So the pasuk says already, know that es mikdash ayti rov yeshabos osay tishmaru. That as much as we have the yiras haMikdash, so Shmira Shabbos still takes priority. And maybe you would have thought Yontif could be different, because Yontif is only a Isolav, it's not an Isakaris, it's only Malkus. So maybe Aseh Dochalos Aseh, and Mitzvah Aseh, being a Beis HaMikdash, should take priority. But the truth is, it's really, Yontif is really an Aseh and a Los Aseh together, so that overwhelms the Aseh. So for whatever it is, you may have thought that maybe you could build a Beis HaMikdash, and the answer is no. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash at night, and you can't build it on Shabbos or on Yontif. You have these limitations. Night, plus Biyom Hikimus on this one. So, it's interesting, you have these two limitations, and yet you have another passage which seems to call into question both of them. The Gemara has a statement in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah that's a little bit of a complicated discussion. It bases itself on the following introduction, that we know that there is a prohibition of Charesh to question how it applies outside of Israel, how it applies under various circumstances. But at least in Eretz Yisrael, there's a prohibition not to eat from the new grains until after the Chag HaOmer. The Chag HaOmer being the second day of Pesach, when the Korban HaOmer is brought. And then, after the Korban is brought, so then it becomes permissible to eat the new grains, to eat the new Charesh. So what happens nowadays? Nowadays, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have Korbanos, you don't do all that. So the din in the Torah is that it's mutter right away. So you can't bring the korban, so it's mutter as soon as the day starts. As soon as the second day of Pesach comes, so chadish is mutter. However, the Gemara tells us that they made a takana, a fascinating takana as far as what it says about our messianic aspirations. So the Gemara says that they said you have to wait an extra day, that sheyehei yom henes kulo asher. Yom henes means the day of waving. It's a reference to the Chag HaOmer, when they would wave the Omer. On that day, it's all off, so you can't eat chadas all that day, you have to wait till the next day. Why? What's the problem? Because we're worried that meheri yibana ha-mikdash, the Beit HaMikdash could be built at any minute, and the rules are going to change. So if we allow you to eat on the second day of Pesach without a korban, so you're not going to realize once the Beit HaMikdash is up that the rules are different, and then you have to wait for the korban. So in order to prevent us from making that mistake, so we made this takana. So the Gemara asks the question, what exactly is happening here? When is the Beis HaMikdash going to be built? If it's going to be built a week ago, so then the word is going to spread. This is going to be big news. It's going to be on J-Post. Everyone's going to know right away there's a Beis HaMikdash, and people are going to realize the different rules. And if it's built later, if you haven't had time to think in yet, it's going to be built later that day, so it's not a problem already. Once the day starts, it was mutter without the korban. We'll have to, this year we already missed it, so then you don't, it's not going to be a problem. So what exactly is the scenario where you're going to have a Beis HaMikdash in place, but people aren't going to know yet that things are different? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it was built the night before, or it was built the previous afternoon. Now both of those are problematic, because the night before is a problem of night, and the previous afternoon is the first day Pesach. So how could you even ask yourself, the first day answer to the Yantif, how could you build a Beis HaMikdash during either of those times? Funny, just the two limitations that we have, this Gemara goes against both of them. So there are a number of suggestions. Perhaps the most dominant suggestion is the idea that, I'm sorry that we have, it's unclear exactly where it comes from, but the Rishonim quoted, the Rashi and the Ritva, and others quoted over there in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph, that the idea is that the third Beis HaMikdash we're actually not going to build. The third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from Shamayim. The Pasuk says, "Vani Asa Lebnosa Be'esh." Kadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to build it out of fire, so it's going to come down already, and we're not going to have to build it. So it's not subject to our prohibitions. We don't have to worry about Shabbos or about night, because we're not the one doing it. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it down. Now that opens a whole host of issues. First of all, then that suggests why I said a few minutes ago that the Pasuk includes the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and maybe the third Beis HaMikdash, because this seems to suggest that really we don't have a mitzvah to build a third Beis HaMikdash that's going to get done without us. So that's a question, because the Rambam does list it as a mitzvah. We know the Rambam's policy is only to list mitzvahs that are going to apply with Boris, that are going to apply again. So that's a little bit of a question how to figure that out. There's some suggestions as far as how maybe it's a little bit of a joint effort. But in any case, the suggestion seems to be that this third Beis HaMikdash is not coming from us, it's coming directly from Shemayim, and therefore we don't have to worry about this prohibition. So as the Mikdash David points out, Mikdash David is the Sefer on Kachim and Taras written by David Rappaport, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Branovitz, Bachanam, and brought him to Branovitz, the Rosh Yeshiva. And he wrote these beautiful Svarim on Kachim and Taras, written like an encyclopedia, goes through everything very thoroughly. And he explains over there that you see that apparently these ideas of not building it at night and not building it on Shabbos Miyatis, that these are not disqualifications. It doesn't create a trace Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is still good. It's just that we're not allowed to do it. But if a Beis HaMikdash came about under those circumstances, this is not a flaw in the construction. The Beis HaMikdash would still be good, just we're not allowed to do that. So why is that useful? It's useful because it might help explain a certain kasha. There is a kasha that a lot of Sfarim raise, and it's interesting, normally there's a tradition of how a kasha is quoted and dealt with. Here, everyone seems to come up with it on their own. Nobody realizes that anybody talked about this before. There's a statement in the Rambam, where the Rambam threw everybody for a loop. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, so the Rambam says, the Rambam lists these limitations. And in that same halacha over there, in the very beginning, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he says that the building of the Beis HaMikdash is an obligation on everybody. It's on Noshim V'Noshim, right? Men and women. So why is that problematic? It's problematic because we just said it doesn't apply at night and it doesn't apply on Shabbos Yontif. That's the exact same limitations as Tefillin. Right? And Tefillin are the paradigmatic mitzvah Seis HaZman Grama. And it's the exact same issue. Why? What makes Tefillin a Seis HaZman Grama? The fact that we don't wear them at night, we don't wear them on Shabbos Yontif. So what's the difference between Tefillin and Beis HaMikdash? So everybody asks this question, and it's a popular issue, and there's a whole slew of answers, and I won't cover all of them, I'll just mention a few of them. But one of the answers that you find, I think possibly the Stipler points this out, the other points this out also, that it could draw upon what we just said. That if we establish that these limitations are not really inherent limitations in the mitzvah itself. They're just kind of prohibitions on us. We're not allowed to do them. But they're not really disqualifications in the mitzvah. So then maybe that's not called the mitzvah seis HaZman Grama. For example, you find there's a Maharit comments in Maseches Kedushin that there is a place over there in the whole sugya of mitzvah seis HaZman Grama. So the Mishnah also lists. You want to know there's some mitzvah, you want to know what mitzvahs are Ein Hazman Grama, which mitzvahs women are obligated in, mitzvahs Sein Hazman Grama. So the Gemara gives a couple of examples, gives a couple of examples, and one of the examples is you have to build a fence around your house, the mitzvah of Micah. So that mitzvah is apparently not a mitzvah Sein Hazman Grama, even though I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. I can't build a fence around my roof on Shabbos, so why don't I say, mitzvah Sein Hazman Grama? No, because there the mitzvah itself applies 24/7. It's just there's an external impediment that's stopping me from doing it because of the rules of Shabbos, so that's going to stop me from fulfilling it. But it's not a detail in the mitzvah that the mitzvah is all of a sudden restricted. The mitzvah is constant. For other reasons, I can't fulfill the mitzvah right now. So apparently that's how these restrictions in the Beis HaMikdash are understood also, that the mitzvah is really constant, but even on Shabbos and apparently live also, it sounded a little bit different, but apparently not. So here too, it's just a restriction. But the mitzvah itself is going 24/7, and therefore it's not going to be classified as mitzvah seis HaZman Grama. A pasuk as far as, right, because the pasuk is you could have thought that it was docher. Because you could have thought that it doesn't necessarily mean it, even though I can hear you coming from it, it maybe sounds like it is din mitzvah itself. So the chiddush is that no, it's not a din that the mitzvah doesn't apply. It's that the mitzvah doesn't allow you to violate Shabbos. And if the pasuk had said they don't build it on Tuesday, then you could say, well, what, there's no problem with Tuesday. It says because of the existing Shabbos issues, that's what stops you. Now the Lila thing really does sound a little bit like that. So again, that's why it's a little bit of a chiddush. You see from the Gemara that it can come down even at night, and therefore apparently it's not really a disqualification in itself. Okay. There are, as I said, many, many other answers. I'll just mention a few of them. For example, the Minchas Elazar, the Munkach Rebbe, has in his Tshuvas, he has four answers. One of the answers he brings is that the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash that's applicable to everybody, we mean two different things, even though, again, it's in the same halacha. When we say that everybody's obligated, and we say that there are limitations, we're not talking about the same thing. The limitations apply to the construction. You can't hammer nails at night. Or it's like your neighbors would sign on to the same idea, right? You can't do the actual construction at night. You can't do the actual construction on Shabbos. But there are aspects of the mitzvah that don't involve those things that are going all the time. Like the fundraising committee and the building committee having meetings, and the rabbi is going to give drushes about how we have to build a Beis HaMikdash and inspire everyone to do it. So all of that can take place on Shabbos, and that can take place at night. And that, men and women are equally obligated. So it's really two different realms, even though, again, you don't know this from reading it, but it's two different realms, that when he says there's a limitation that's applying to one specific type of binyan, and when he says everybody's obligated, he's talking about the broader idea of binyan, about everything that goes towards putting it together. So when we say, hey, oh, this guy is such a chassid in the community, he built the shul. We don't mean he took a hammer and nails, and he did everything to make it happen. So that type of building the shul, building the Beis HaMikdash, everybody's chayvin. And the actual building with a hammer and nails, that's where it's limited to Shabbos and Yom Tov, or limited from Shabbos and Yom Tov. Another answer that he gives is that there is a fundamental difference between, let's say, tefillin, if that's the model we were using, and binyan Beis HaMikdash, and that when it comes to tefillin, so let's say today was Tuesday, so I had to wear tefillin this morning, and if I didn't, so when the nighttime came, so that mitzvah is over, and then tomorrow I'm going to have to put on tefillin for Wednesday's tefillin. It's not that it's a continuation of today's mitzvah. Today's mitzvah was completely boxed in from Tuesday morning till Tuesday evening. And after that, it's over. And tomorrow it's a new mitzvah. So that's really mitzvah seishas mangam. That's really boxed into a specific time zone. While the mitzvah being based on mikdash, it keeps going. It's just there are times when it's not active. So essentially, to use VCR terminology, DVD terminology, it's already obsolete. So there's a difference between the pause button and the stop button. And that tefillin stops, and then the next day it restarts, it's a new mitzvah of tefillin. For the Beis HaMikdash, it's only on pause. You're not building it right now, but it's the same mitzvah, and when they continue working tomorrow, it'll be the same mitzvah being a Beis HaMikdash that's restarted. So therefore, that's not necessarily comparable to tefillin, where it's really boxed into one time zone. This just goes on hiatus and then it comes back. It's not in the Mishnah Torah, if I'm not mistaken. There's a little bit of a discussion in the Sefer Kofa Yitzchak, written by a Rav from Baltimore, Yitzchak Sternhill. He has a whole explanation that tried to be miyashid, how the Rambam call it, and then use it to the Doris, and also deal with that attitude that the Rishonim have. But I don't think it's explicit in the Rambam, at least not in Mishnah Torah, I don't think. Let's check again. So there is another approach he gives. Those are two answers. The third answer that he gives is that in the context of the Mishkan, so we have a pasuk that tells us that the women were involved. The pasuk says, "Kol isha chachma shleif," and that shows that women are involved in the binyan hamikdash, in the binyan ha-mishkan at least. And we started off saying that the mitzvah of the Mishkan is the same mitzvah. All the Beis HaMikdashes are all under the same mitzvah. So therefore, presumably, it's all the same rules. So maybe what you see here is essentially a gilui, essentially a revelation that the rule of mitzvah seisha as non-gram is not going to apply. So it's the same kind of thing that we find, as we've talked about in the past, you find this example by kiddush and by matzah. Right? Both kiddush and matzah on the surface are mitzvah seisha as non-gram, But in both cases, we have a din from a pasuk that tells us that women are obligated. In the case of Kiddush, it's the hekesh of Sechira and Shmira. And in the case of Matzah, it's the hekesh of Kol Sheyesh Nob Bal Toch Chacham, it's Sheyesh Nob Matzah. Whoever is prohibited from Yechama, it's obligated to eat Matzah. So in both cases, what essentially is a mitzvah seishu azman grama. So you have a pasuk coming and say, even so, women are obligated anyway. So maybe it's the same kind of thing here, that maybe based on the rules, this would also be a mitzvah seishu azman grama. And nonetheless, the pasuk comes and tells us, not true. The pasuk comes and tells us that women are obligated. Now, there are some who understood that maybe this is not our din. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that women volunteered to be involved. There's a whole discussion about this in the Tshuva Space Yitzchak, or the Yitzchak Shnaldik. Maybe it doesn't necessarily mean that it's an obligation. So there's a little bit of back and forth about this in Sfarim, about how you should interpret this pasuk. Did you interpret it as a giloy, as a revelation that that's the din? Or maybe it was a volunteering? That's a little bit of a discussion. But in any event, that's the third answer that the Minhag HaShulchan has. The fourth answer that he has is an interesting idea. He says maybe the whole rule of mitzvah asei shehazman grama doesn't apply to kachin. And we find, as the Gemara tells us in the middle of Maseches Tzvachim, that kachin is a whole different world. And the attitude we always have in yeshivas, we're afraid to touch kachin, it's a whole different world. So too, the Gemara says, you're right to be afraid in that sense, because the rules don't apply. There's all kinds of different rules as to how you learn out things, different drushes, different ways in which we apply the Yud Gimel Midos that apply to Kachim in a whole different way than the rest of the Torah. So therefore, I mean, it's not such a radical idea that we find in general different arenas of Halakha sometimes have, you know, Mamanus has one set of rules and Esther has another set of rules, so we find that Kachim has its own set of rules. So maybe there is a discussion in the Malbim in his Sefer and Halakha, and others have this discussion also, maybe there's no exemption in mitzvah seishah azman grama when it comes to kachin. Now there's a sub-discussion to have about that, as he points out also, that even if he were to say that, we're not totally sure this is called kachin. Kachin might mean the kabbanos themselves, may not necessarily mean the binyan beis hamikdash, so it's a little bit of a fake, it's a little bit of a doubly questionable premise, but maybe that's a possibility, that maybe mitzvah seishah azman grama is not an exemption when it comes to this whole realm of kachim, etc. Okay. So that's, those are some of the approaches that you find in Menachas Elazar, together with this other approach that we mentioned before that, the approach of the fact that it's not a reef, not a flaw itself, but it's more of a restriction, and there are many, many other answers that are suggested. Some point out that the Gemara has a statement about the mezuzah, that it wasn't clear whether women should be obligated in mezuzah or not, because maybe we should exempt women from mezuzah because it involves ksiva, and the same way we find by tefillin and by sefer Torah that women are not obligated. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says in Yuma that the Torah seems to suggest that mezuzah is there to protect us and to provide us with life. And so what, women don't need life? Of course women do, so therefore they have to have mezuzahs also. So too, some say that that's also the idea here. Space Mikdash is for the kafaris of Klai, so also a kafaris is the man thing, kafaris is for everybody. So therefore, misvar, basically, which is that women are obligated. So a couple of answers you find like that. You find a number of suggestions from various different directions how to try to figure out what exactly it is that the Rambam is getting at. So in addition, there is a suggestion also, Rav Lau, the former chief rabbi in his Tshuvas Yachal Yisrael, has a discussion about this topic, and he suggests that really we have to come at it from an earlier question. And the question is, how do you view the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash as a whole? Do we see it as really a mitzvah that would apply to an individual? Is it like a Chovas HaYachid that applies to all the individuals in Klal Yisrael? Or is it really a mitzvah that doesn't attach to any individual, but it's a mitzvah shatzibur? The tzibur needs a beis hamikdash, so there's a mitzvah on Klal Yisrael to build a beis hamikdash. And this would presumably affect this issue, because if it's a mitzvah that applies to every individual, so then it's subject to the distinct rules whatever the individual has. So if an individual is pater from, let's say, mitzvah seisha as mangrama, so then there shouldn't be an obligation here. But if it's on the community as a whole, so then we could say that everybody who's part of the community is going to be obligated. So he points out there's a little bit of a discrepancy between the Rambam, Mishneh Torah, and the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot on this point. And he points out different Mefarshim and Chumash seem to sound different ways when the Torah says in different places that the Jewish people built the Beis HaMikdash. So one place he quotes from Sforno, I think, where it sounds like it was done through Shlichus, like everybody was fulfilling their personal obligation through the agency of those who actually did it. And other Meforshim elsewhere say it's because they donated money. So it was a communal project, so they were all building the Beis HaMikdash. Again, the sense is that before he built the shul, they were building the Beis HaMikdash in that sense, building the Mishkan, excuse me, in that sense. So this question of whether we see it as an individual obligation or an obligation on the tzibur as a whole, they have a lot of other nafkaminas also. For example, it's not just a question about women, so what about children? So if you talk about children, so normally children are not obligated to mitzvahs at all. So if we look at it as an individual obligation, so again, let's apply the rules, and we'll say that children are not obligated in personal mitzvahs. But if it's an obligation on the community as a whole, so then the story might be different. So then maybe children are obligated as part of the community, the same way women are obligated in this apparent association as mangrama, as part of the community. So as he points out, this would also affect how you read the Gemara. The Gemara has a statement that the aim of that one, Tinokah Shel Beis Rabban, that we don't take the children of Tinokah Shel Beis Rabban, don't take the Jewish children who are learning Torah, we don't stop them from learning. I feel a living in the Beis HaMikdash, even for this purpose in building the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that mean? So if children are obligated, so then the Gemara makes sense. Okay, so you might have thought that we would tell them stop learning to go do this, and the Chiddush says no. But if children are not obligated anyway, so then what's the question? So why should you think you would do that? So it could be then you'd have to say this referring to the teachers. You don't tell the teachers who are teaching them to stop teaching them to go to the Beis HaMikdash, to make the children's education a priority. And that topic of learning in general is a question, because normally when it comes to learning, as we discussed probably recently in other contexts, so normally we say that a person is involved in learning, Osek B'Torah, is probably not Patur Min HaMitzvah, assuming that it's a mitzvah she'efshar la'aseh al-yedei acherim, that if somebody else will do the mitzvah, so he's not supposed to stop his learning in order to do that mitzvah, unless it's a mitzvah that won't be done by somebody else, or it's your personal obligation, so it can't really be done by somebody else. So to here, the question is, do we see it like it's your personal obligation, or do we see it as a mitzvah on the tzibur? So then if there are people who are getting it done, so then presumably somebody who's involved in learning would be told to stick with that and wouldn't necessarily be involved in this mitzvah, wouldn't necessarily see it as a mitzvah cessation as my grammar. So this is how Rabbi Lau looks at the issue, and he suggests therefore that would be apparently what the Rambam's getting at, that if you saw it as a communal mitzvah, so then the mitzvah is not going to necessarily have the exemption of mitzvah seisha as my grandma, because it's talking to the whole community. It's saying that this is what the Jewish people need to do, and all the parts of the Jewish people are involved in bringing this about. We don't look at it from the perspective of personal exemptions that might necessarily be relevant in other contexts. So this could also be relevant to other questions about how you view the whole project. The Chazon Nachum is a tshuvas of Nachum Wiedenfeld, whose brother was the Shibin Arav, the author of the Dove of Mesharim. So the Chazon Nachum is his father. The Chazon Nachum discusses in one place the question of whether we should see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash as a mitzvah itself, or do we see it as not really a mitzvah, but we see it as a hechsher mitzvah, we see it as a means to an end, that we need to do certain things in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, we have to have this binyan in order to bring it about. But really, it's not really a mitzvah in itself. It's really more like a shul. Among Avraham says the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash is also a hechsher mitzvah. And that's a little bit of a debate also. But it's, at least that's how some understand it. So you say, like, there's you need a mikveh, you need a shul, you need a yeshiva, you need Jewish institutions. But it's not, per se, a mitzvah to build them out itself. So the Tosfos in the Sefer Shabbos in one place where it sounds like Binyan Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah in and of itself, it's a Gufa mitzvah, and there's a Tosfos in Yavamos where it sounds like it's a Hashem mitzvah. So that's presumably relevant here also, that are we seeing it as a mitzvah to build this binyan, and therefore it's really an individual obligation as a mitzvah in and of itself, or do we say that no, it's something the community needs. So the Jewish community has to make sure they have the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, because it's something the Klal needs, and therefore it's a mitzvah on everybody, this communal mitzvah view. Of Cook has an interesting tshuva on one of his tshuvas farim, where he raises the question, if it's mutter to build the Beis HaMikdash, al menas not to bring karbanos. So they say that if it's not going to serve its means to an end, so then maybe there's no mitzvah at all, there's no heter, that's discussion that we could have, which seems to be the flip side of this whole question. If you see it as in and of itself, but you see it as a means to an end. So the Chazon Nachum elsewhere has another truth about this, where he suggests that this might be the machlokas that we find as far as when Tisha B'Av should be observed. That there is a debate in the Gemara that our practice, as we know, is to observe Tisha B'Av, as the name indicates, on the 9th of Av. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan said that if I had been there, if I had been there, I would have set a different date. I think that the test should have been on the 10th of Av. Because Rubo Shohechol Nisraf, that most of the destruction, most of the burning took place on the 10th of Av, and that's a more appropriate day to commemorate. So what's the machlokas about? A lot of discussion as to what that machlokas is about. So in one place, the Chazon Nachum says, maybe it's about this, that the question is, what's the Beis HaMikdash for? Is the Beis HaMikdash because we want to have a Beis HaMikdash? Or is the Beis HaMikdash because we want it to bring Karbanos? So if it's for the purposes of Karbanos, so then the 9th is a significant day, because as soon as the destruction started, so it became disqualified for its purpose, as well as peace and the Chilul Lulav, is already no good. So then that's when we're commemorating as the moment of tragedy. But if the issue is that we want the Beis HaMikdash in of itself, not because of the Karbanos, but because of the Binyan, because of the structure, so then if most of it was destroyed in the 10th, so the 10th would get more of our attention. So he suggested that debate was perhaps relevant to this question as to what exactly is the focus when we talk about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the issue, so here again, this could help explain things, because we have also a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban concerning the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. That the Rambam lists not only the building of the bayis, but also the building of the kalim, the construction and manufacture of the kalim, as part of the mitzvah of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban thinks they should be separate mitzvahs, and that they shouldn't be counted together as a mitzvah of Binyan HaBayis and a mitzvah of the kalim. So what's that machlokus about? So apparently it seems that the Rambam apparently holds that the purpose of Beis HaMikdash is to bring Karbanos about. So therefore everything that you need for the Karbanos is all included in that mitzvah, not just the structure, but also the kalim. That's also part of the mitzvah. And the Ramban apparently disagrees. Remember, I once asked the Rosh Hashanah many years ago, if you don't have a Kohen Gadol, so the Kohen Gadol essentially works one day a year. Right? So the Kohen Gadol, if you were to die a day after Yom Kippur, so is there any rush in the next 11 and a half months to get a new Kohen Gadol? It doesn't really work the rest of the year. You have to bring a Korban Chavitin every day, but the Mishnah says that if there's no Kohen, you can bring it from the Tzibur. So it's not clear what the responsibility is of the Kohen Gadol are the rest of the year. So what if you don't have, is there any need to have a Kohen Gadol when it's not Yom Kippur? So I asked Rishachas once, and his initial reaction was that the Rambam said that mitzvah being Beis HaMikdash includes not only the building, but everything that's all part of the process is all included in the, it's all included in the mitzvah. And therefore that's going to include the appointing of a Kohen Gadol. It is, according to the Rambam, a mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So then that would work out well, because again the Rambam holds that apparently that it's a communal mitzvah and that women, men and women are all obligated equally. So it makes sense. Why is that true? Because in his understanding it's a means to an end. It's not an objective in itself. It's about bringing about Karbanos. So therefore we could understand why he would see it that way. So the problem is though that the Rambam also does Paskin as a Gemara in Mesechta Shavuos and Megillah and Zvachim, where the Gemara quotes an idea, it's a rumor, says Shamaiti, I've heard, Shemakriva Nafal Pi Shein Bayis, that you can bring Karbanos even without a Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam does Paskin like that. So does that complicate our idea a little bit to say that the Rambam sees the whole Beis HaMikdash as a means to an end, as a means to bring in Karbanos, and yet he also says you can bring the Karbanos without a Beis HaMikdash? So does that push there this whole stick also? Not necessarily, because even if you can bring Karbanos without the Beis HaMikdash, you're still going to agree that the Karbanos are very much enhanced with the Beis HaMikdash. And the discussion of some far more exactly he means, some suggesting it's only a reshus to bring Karbanos, but there's no real mitzvah to bring Karbanos. Everyone's going to agree that even if we do say that Karbanos are theoretically possible without a Beis HaMikdash, certainly not on the same level, and certainly not accomplishing everything that they could be accomplishing. And if we want to take the comparison to Binyan Beis HaKnesses, and especially to those who say that there's a parallel between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash, so you can daven without a shul also. But still the shul is there for the purposes of davening. So presumably there's some type of comparison there, that even if you can bring Karbanos without a Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't change the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is there for the purposes of Karbanos, and that that's apparently the Rambam Shita. So what about the Ramban? So the Ramban disagrees. He says that the Kalim should be counted as a separate mitzvah. So therefore he sees the Beis HaMikdash counted as a mitzvah by itself without the Kalim. So that's the Ramban Shita also. But if you look at the Ramban in his commentary to Chumash, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, so he says in the Pasuk, Asuli Mikdash V'Sachanti B'Shal Chumash, he says that's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, that there should be a home for the Shekhinah to rest. And Karbanos is a separate idea, and it's not necessarily the same point, that there's a physical location where the Shekhinah is focused upon, and that's what the Beis HaMikdash is for. And the Karbanos is a whole separate din, so that's apparently what their machlokus is, and the Rambam sees it differently. The Rambam sees it as essentially being there for the Karbanos, and that would perhaps make all of those other shittas that he has fall into place along those lines. So just to, we'll stop there, just to quickly review what we spoke about. So we spoke about the fact that there is a mitzvah of Yasuli Mikdash, and that apparently this is not only the mitzvah of Binyan HaMishkan, but all the other structures that came after that are also included within this mitzvah. And even though they don't look anything alike, it's because we have this idea of HaKol B'Kshav Niyad Hashem Ala Yiskel, that the Nevi'im are always going to dictate the terms, but it's essentially the same mitzvah. The Smag raises the pasuk of L'shichna Sidrishu of Asa Shama, so maybe he disagrees, and maybe he doesn't disagree. As some later Svarim point out, but he sees two separate mitzvahs, a mitzvah to find the exact place, and a mitzvah to build a structure upon that place. And then we talked about whether the mitzvah applies nowadays, whether it applies only when Rav Yosef Ha'olel, etc., and various other details. And then the fact that the Gemara tells us two limitations. On the one hand, the Beis HaMikdash can't be built at night, and can't be built on Shabbos and Yontif. But strikingly, the Gemara also says elsewhere that we have to worry that the Beis HaMikdash might get built before the Hakarav HaSa'omer on the second day, so we shouldn't allow eating Chadash on that day. So you ask the Gemara, when's it going to get built? It has to be sometime close to then. So the Gemara has these two ideas, either the previous night or the previous afternoon. So it's against both these limitations. So the Rishonim say that's because the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from Shemayim already built, and provokes the whole discussion. So is it really a mitzvah for us, or is it really a mitzvah of Doris, or is the mitzvah essentially over at this point? So that's the discussion. But what comes after there apparently is that this is not just qualifications in a Beis HaMikdash, but rather this is Isurim on us, but the Beis HaMikdash is still kosher without it, which could be relevant to answering the question, why is it that the Rambam says that you can't build it night or on Shabbos, and yet women are obligated? So isn't it the same restrictions that we find by tefillin? So it could be, first of all, that we find that it's not really a restriction, it's an outside problem from Shabbos and the like, and which we find elsewhere as far as defining mitzvah shei shahazman grama and ma'arit, etc. And then we mentioned the different approaches of the mechas elazer, the idea that it's not a reference to the construction when he says everyone's obligated, it's a reference to all the other aspects, the meetings and the fundraising, etc., etc. His second approach being that the mitzvah is paused, not stopped. It's not like filling where it's totally encapsulated within that day, but it's going to resume the next day in its same mitzvah form. We also mentioned the possibility of the pasuk of Kol Yishar Chachmas Wave is a giloy, like we find by Kiddush and by Matzah, that even though it looks like a mitzvah shei shehazman grama, women are obligated anyway, and we saw some discussion whether that's a din or whether it was just what happened. And then the fourth possibility we mentioned is that maybe mitzvah shei shehazman grama doesn't apply to kachim, and then the question is this kachim, or is kachim only karbanos, etc., etc. Then we saw a discussion that we mentioned some other ideas, the idea of Sikh Mezuzah, Nasi by Chai, so so to Nasi by Kapara, ideas related to that. And then we mentioned how Rav Lava, this whole discussion about whether it's a mitzvah on the tzibur or a mitzvah on the individual, how the Rambam in various places give you different impressions, and how the Mefarshim on the Chumash in various places give you different impressions. And among the ramifications would be, what about children? Are children obligated or not? And how do you read the Gemara that says, "Aim of Atlantis, you know, official base rabbin, a few of being a base on mitzvah"? Does it apply to them? Does it apply to the teachers? And also, a question in general, somebody's learning normally would be exempt from mitzvahs that could be done by somebody else. So is this in this category or not? And then potentially that would relate back to the question, do we say women are exempt because it's viewed like a personal mitzvah and therefore it's mitzvah shei shehazman grama, or do we say they're obligated because it's a mitzvah on the whole community? And we saw this could also affect the question of whether the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is a hefsher mitzvah as a means to an end, like Tosfos and Yavam B'Shem, or it's a mitzvah in itself, like Tosfos and Shabbos B'Shem. And that could also, as the Chazon Nachum points out, perhaps relate to the question of whether the fast should be observed on the 9th of Av or the 10th of Av. But if it's about Korbanos, 9th of Av is what changed that. If it's about the Binyan Bayis, then the 10th of Av is most of the disruption as far as that's concerned. And then discussed also the question of how then for the Rambam would apparently see it as a means to an end. And that's why he differs from the Ramban. The Rambam counts both the Beis HaMikdash and the Kalim, all of one mitzvah, everything that we need for the Kabbanos, all including one mitzvah. Panelists, he talks so that it's a means to an end of the Kabbanos. Now, this is despite the fact that the Rambam Paschkins, the Makriv, and Alpha Pesha, and Pius, and as we pointed out, it's not necessarily a problem. It could be that, yes, technically they're possible, but it's clear that Beis HaMikdash is still for that purpose, and to give the muscle that just like you can daven with a shul, still a shul is for the purpose of davening, regardless of that. And the Ramban apparently disagrees. The Ramban says that no, that you should count the Kalim as one mitzvah and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash as another mitzvah, because Ramban was Shidatso, as he writes in his commentary to Chumash and Parshas Truma, that the mitzvah is the Shachanti B'Socham, there should be a place for the Shechina, and that's really the focus of the mitzvah. Okay, we will stop there. Wish you a wonderful week, a wonderful night, and only good things.